All right, well, let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, God, for your presence, for your love, God. We thank you that you're always near, that you're so helpful, God. God, that you stir us, you ignite us to such desires. God, that you meet our thirst, that you satisfy our hunger. We just pray, God, for your word today. We pray that it would go forward, God, and it would be food, God, for those who have ears to hear. God, you would open the eyes of many who don't see you and the worth, God, of all that you have to offer. So, God, just encourage us and exhort us, God, to follow faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we start a new series. All right, we're going to be talking about parables. You know, I was talking to Robert, I don't know, about what, a couple months ago. You know, we were just talking about this idea. And I just, we had just finished, a series on fellowship and how God, in the gospel, is bringing us into partnership, into oneness, that the good news of God is the good news that he is bringing us into oneness. And that he is partnering with us, and that we are partnering with one another, and we are building the kingdom. And so parables is not that different. Matter of fact, the word parable, parabole, is to come alongside of something you cast, right? So para, I think you would like parallel, right? So something you throw or cast, next to, juxtaposed, right, to come alongside what? Well, it is the picture of the kingdom. And so Jesus often says, right, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is like, and then he tells you the story. And many of you heard my parables. You didn't know that you were hearing parables. But, you know, when I say the Christian life is like sailing and not rowing. That was a parable, right? That when you heard me say, right, God is like the sun, and we are like the planets, and that there we are, that God doesn't need two suns, right? But that we all are planets. And so you've heard me talk about these analogies, we'll call them, but they're, in a sense, here's the reality of the kingdom, and here's a story that tries to bring that to life. That's a parable. So let's begin reading Mark 4:10. Yeah. When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." I mean, clearly, right, the idea isn't that to them we're given parables, and to you we're given the secrets of the kingdom, and so God was actually saying two things at the same time. No. I mean, he was saying the parables, but to those who had ears to hear, they heard the secrets of the kingdom, and to them, they just heard a story. It wasn't like they didn't get it, right? It wasn't like they didn't know the facts about it. It's just, but like anything, they don't see that it's that important. They don't really see, right? If I, you know, one of the things, you know, just very encouraged, you know, as Brother Jeff, you know, and Barb were sharing, you know, it isn't that as Christians we don't know that the kingdom life isn't important. It's just that we don't see that it's important enough. But when our eyes are lifted and we see that it's important, it causes us to act. It radicalizes us when we see kingdom reality. I loved what, you know, Robert was saying about, right, the difference between him and his daughter, 30-some years, you know, whatever, 30 years old, 30 years gap. And Well, how about if you're 10,000 years from now? It's just 30 years. How about a million years? Like a million and million and 30, well, statistically, it's insignificant, right? And so we're making decisions right now, right? And you're going to go, well, how about 1 trillion versus 1 trillion and 30? And we're making decisions, well, but that 30 years, you know? One thing about, you know, when you see charts and statistics and you blow up these, what they call them, scales, these number scales, something could seem very big and it can seem very, very important. But when you scale back and you see, right, that in the big scheme of things, when you scale it back, it's really nothing, right? It's really nothing. And that's exactly what Paul says. I consider it all rubbish, right? For the what? For the sake of following Christ. So that means that you will one day see that whatever you think is important, whatever you think is holding you back, is going to be a bunch of garbage compared to. Right now, you might not. You right now, you're just going to struggle. What is my greatest parenting challenge? That they, my children, see what is important and what is not important. Because in this life, right, things that are unimportant will appear important. And things that are, you know, unimportant will seem very important. And I promise you, right, when you see it all, why didn't I just pack up the bag, sell the house? Why didn't I just, right? Because it would have been worth it. But that's the idea, right? That's what Jesus is telling people. It's jarring. It almost kind of like just shakes people up. Let's dive in. Kingdom reality. Mark 4:30. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? So comparing the kingdom of God is what parables are doing. And he says, it is like. So again, this is the introduction of most of the parables. What's surprising is Mark 4:33 says, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. People who were interested, you could always see his disciples after he told the parable, like, hey, maybe I'm not getting it here. And he goes, okay, well, glad you asked. And then he would explain it. Matthew 13:34, it says, all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Parables, kind of a big deal. Jesus almost exclusively talked in parables when he preached. That's why there's so many parables. And just think how many parables might not have been written down, because he spoke a lot of them. Boy, I wish I would have been there just to be a fly on the wall, right? But we know that he talked all the time in parables. Matthew 4:33, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So to God and Jesus, he went around Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom, which means probably in parables. Most likely in parables. So kind of a big deal. Kind of want to lean into, right? We're not going to go over the parables today, but I'm going to do the bottom line up front and so give you a picture, okay, of what Jesus was getting at, so you kind of get the bottom line up front and then go, and then when you dive into the parables, then you'll begin to see the story of the gospel of the kingdom unravel. So Jesus starts out, right, the beginning of his ministry, and this is what he says. Now, after John was arrested, right, that's when he starts and launches his ministry in Galilee, where his new headquarters is. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, I know right now, it was interesting, when I was talking with my cousin Andrew here, right? We just had a wonderful conversation, and just this idea, this confusion about, well, Jesus preached about the kingdom. Jesus preached about, and he said, the gospel of the kingdom. And so to Jesus, the gospel was the kingdom, the invitation to the kingdom, to talk about the realities of the kingdom. And then you see Paul talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ. And when he talks about the gospel, he's referring to Christ. That's like saying, hey, you're the number one draft pick. You're going to the pros. You know, I was watching, I think it was 60 Minutes, you know, and it was a piece on Nick Saban from the University of Alabama. And it turns out, right, Nick Saban was good at one thing. He built up training facilities, right, at the University of Alabama, the kind of training facility that would help aspiring NFL wannabes to come to the school so that they would get seriously trained up. So they had mega million dollar facilities, and he was the mastermind. They had like physical therapists, icing rooms, and you name it, you know, every kind of training thing with the highest technology that you can get. And so when you're recruiting, okay, high caliber people who are going to be playing in the NFL, you got to have good training. And so now, of course, other colleges are like, you know, if we want to do that, then we got to spend the mega millions. Well, a lot of colleges didn't have mega millions. And so if you see a lot of college teams win, it's because they have the mega millions to attract those serious athletes who would want to play in the NFL. And so then, you know, Michigan got the same similar kind of facilities, and you can see where this is all going. And then if you're the dinky little college, right, and you don't have the mega facilities, but that's the good news is you're going to make it to the pros. You know, but in that, well, how am I going to get there? Well, you're going to have to go to one of those, you know, training facilities where you're going to be rigorously trained. Or if I say, guess what? Here's the good news. I tell my children, you may go to Disney World. You may go to Disney World. Oh, whoa, right? Tell your kids you're going to go to Disney World. Yeah, you're going to go to Disney World. All right. How am I going to get there, right? Well, there's got to be another good news when you say you're going to go to Disney World. I can talk all about, right? Oh, Disney World, man, it's got this. Yeah, it's got that. Ooh, I want to go to Disney World. But then you got to hear the good news, right? How are we going to get there? Or we're going to fly there, right? That's good news, right? So the good news is not just the destination. Good news is also the how you're going to get there. Paul talked a lot about how we're going to get, right? Because the end in the gospel is the kingdom. How we're going to get there is Jesus Christ. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Got to talk about the kingdom, right? A lot of times it's very confusing when we're talking about, well, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Yeah, well, I agree with that. If you confess with your mouth, right, that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you'll be saved. Yeah, I agree with that. We're just talking about Mormons at this point, right? All right?
And so a lot of what we're saying about what salvation looks like, because, but here's the thing that I think we're saved to what? What does that destination look like? Now, we got to understand that because Jesus is talking about the kingdom a lot. That is the heart of his ministry. And yet we take what Paul is saying about how you're going to get there and then lead it up to us to try to, then we take that. And then when Jesus talked about the kingdom all the time, Paul talks about how you're going to get there. And then we then miss the picture of what that destination looks like. Well, Jesus talked about it all the time. Let's take a look at some of this. Luke 17:20. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look here, it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of," that word is plural, "you all," y'all. So he's talking to the Pharisees and he goes, "Okay, where's the kingdom? How is it going to come?" Now, what they're thinking is somebody's going to come in as the king of the Jews, right? Be king over Israel, defeat Rome, right? And then we're going to establish the kingdom. And Jesus is like, "That's not going to happen. It's already in the midst of you." Revelation 1:5. I just want to kind of get to, right? Kind of get surgical with this a little bit. "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." There's no doubt for most theologians that the kingdom of God is the theme of the Bible, the main central theme of the Bible. And so it's God's people in God's place under God's rule. We had talked about that a lot. But now what Scripture is going with is God's people is God's place under God's rule. So when you have people coming together, now that is a kingdom. People coming together under the rule of God is a kingdom. This church is a kingdom. It's a kingdom outpost. What that means is we are now, right, building the kingdom. Revelation 5:10, "And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." We're going to talk about the idea of reigning. Mark 12:10, "Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." So Jesus is building a kingdom, and he's giving you a picture of a building, and he himself being the cornerstone. Then Paul says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building." So it's this idea that a kingdom is like a building, like Jesus is the cornerstone, and us being built. Again, in Ephesians 4:11 says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers," what purpose? "To equip the saints for the work of the ministry," for what? "Building up the body of Christ." So the idea of how the kingdom is being brought together is God, right? Some of those gifts, like evangelists, God is bringing people together through the message of the gospel of Christ, right? And their people are coming together, right? And then they start forming. The Holy Spirit baptizes you, right? Love is the binding agent. Remember last week we talked about that. Colossians 3:14. Love binds. It says, above all these, right? Put on love. Why? Because love is what binds people together. That's why it's the greatest commandment. That is why it is the essence of the gospel. Because gospel, the good news is that God is bringing you into oneness. We're going to talk about that. So again, shoring up, right? Making those connections really good and bringing others into those connections. The first thing, you know, when we were church planting, the greatest need that I had and the greatest need for the gospel was that I would have a team that I could love, that they could love me, that we would become one. Why is that important? Because the message of the kingdom is about oneness. And when other people come and see, wow, look at how they love one another, they must be disciples. If I don't have intimate connection, if I'm not part of a gospel kingdom, and I go and share my faith, I teach people what? What is it about the gospel that I'm teaching them? That you could, what, be saved, and we're going to talk about this, that you could have a personal relationship with Jesus, but then we're leaving out the idea of the kingdom. What did the Bible say is a kingdom? It says you all are the kingdom. So it's like you're like kingdomless, but you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I met with a friend of mine, and this is, it was just, I was really thrown away. You know, he was just really struggling, right? Just, you know, God just breaking him, right? Going through divorce, you know, blah, blah, blah. And just breaking him. And the church, finally the church was putting him under discipline. And then they said the word, excommunicate. He said he was jarred, because he didn't care one bit about discipline. But something about excommunication, he said, something inside of him was just like, what does that mean? Right? So it's like, he said he got like really urgent. It almost felt like I'm like being casted out of the kingdom. But the idea here, right, is that you're coming, the good news is that you're coming into a kingdom. Kingdom. All right, so how does Jesus and the cross fit into the kingdom of God? Titus 3:4, take a look at it. It says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So far, this is the gospel of Christ, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So this is the gospel we all love and hear. Jesus, through his own blood, right? He is saving us. Why? So that, being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Why is this so important? This is the part that Jesus is really getting at. Why is that? Because a lot of us grown up thinking that the gospel of Jesus Christ, if I would have told you that the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for your sins, you would say, yeah, I agree with that too. That through Jesus Christ and him alone, by the blood alone, the cross alone, right? Through God's word alone, right? All that alone stuff, right? And then you may be saved. Yeah, I'm saved. And then, so that you can go to heaven. And it's kind of like, does it really require Jesus Christ to be in heaven? Really? Did Jesus have to die, suffer, so that the angels could be in heaven? Did he? No, he did not. Angels are doing just fine in heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ. Then why? Did he go to plan B because plan A didn't work? Was plan A the garden? Right? Now we're in plan B, right? He had to come and rescue us. Right? So then we can be in heaven like the angels. And we have this picture of heaven. And here's the thing. There's a difference between being one with God and being with God. Angels are with God. They are not one with God. Now, Why is that distinction critical? Because to be with God, God did not have to go through this. God did not have to include his son. He would have just created you in heaven to be with them for all of eternity, just like the angels. But plan A wasn't to create angels or anything like the angels. Plan A was to create sons and daughters of the king, to be one with God. And that requires the death, the suffering, burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Titus 3:4 says, right? So that, being justified by his grace, we might become heirs. Galatians 4:6-7 explains, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So, because God, right? Because to make sons and daughters heirs, that's why Jesus is part of plan A. Now, that's the invitation of the gospel. That you may be sons and daughters. Not, hey, I don't want to be too ambitious here. Right? I'll just be happy. Right? A fly on the wall in heaven. To be a fly on the wall in heaven did not require the blood of his one and only beloved son. That is not humility. Humility is not cheapening the purpose for which, why God sent his one and beloved son. Humility is understanding why he did that. Then you'll begin to understand the invitation of the gospel. It is preposterous. When Jesus prayed in John 17, God, make them one, perfectly one. I in them, they in us, just as you are in me. Right? And I in you. We're talking Trinitarian kind of prayer. And I promise you this, God the Father is answering every bit of it. That's the gospel. Now, we would like to think, oh, at least I'm saved. Oh, you mean the kind of saved that like the angels, you just be there praising God, one long vacation, right? You know what it means to be a son? That means you will reign with him. Do you know what it means to reign with God? It's to be like God. That means to have his qualities. That means you got to have courage. You got to have humility. You got to have patience. You got to have love, right? Long suffering. You got to have mercy. These are things that are required of a king. And the sons and daughters of the king. And so, this is the invitation. Well, I don't want that invitation. I want the invitation where I get to live this life, right? And at least I'll be up there. Well, that's not why. That's not plan A. That's not plan B. There's only one plan. And there's only one invitation, right? That involves his son. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. Only way. Only way what? Yeah, salvation. Saved to what? Saved to be his sons and daughters. Right? That's good news. But that's why he died. Hebrews 1:13. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? That's what angels are. Right? They long to look at this mystery. God is doing something. A kingdom, right, is a building full of his sons and daughters. That's what a kingdom is. This is a kingdom outpost. 1 Corinthians 6:2-3, it says, "Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases?" They were just bickering about, right? Suing each other and all this stuff. "Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more than matters pertaining to this life?" Folks, eternity is not one long vacation. Eternity, right, is our ability and privilege to be able to work. God loves to work, right? God loves to work. Eternity is to be one with him. And guess what? To be one with God, you got to have those qualities, right? You know, when people betray me, say mean things to me, it's like, it's an opportunity. I'm like, wow. I love it when I catch the moments. I'm like, okay, this is that moment, right? I get to get strong here, right? When I can respond with mercy and grace, I feel strong. You know what that's called? Supernatural abilities. Normal people don't do that. They don't turn the other cheek. They get bent out of shape. They'll counterattack, say mean things, or what? Withdraw into a silent treatment. That's people. Okay? You? You're being called to much, much greater things. Supernatural things that only God can do. Oh, by the way, you're his son and daughter. So, you got to do them too. But that's the gospel. That's the invitation. God's inviting you to be his sons and daughters, right? Not to be up there with him, right? To be one with God. But see, a lot of people don't like that. They would rather be this pseudo humble, like, oh, yeah, I'll just like be up there, you know, I'll just be happy to be up there. Well, then you didn't need the blood of Jesus Christ to be up there. God didn't have to do all that. You're saying that's not necessary. Had you just created me in heaven, we wouldn't have to go through this mess. God isn't interested in innocence. He's interested in perfection. Romans 10:15. "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Now this is Paul. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." The good news that Jesus Christ has saved you, okay, to the kingdom, to be his sons and daughters, people just have a hard time with that. They really do. It would just be better if you just generally said, "I was saved," then at least I can just kind of be left to my own, and at least I'll just make it up there. You don't need Jesus for that. What you're saying is, God, if you would have just created me in heaven, we wouldn't be going through this mess. 2 Timothy 2:12, "If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful." Why all this? Why all this enduring, counting the cost? Why all this? Because we got to reign with him. For those who have ears to hear, here's the thing. That's good news. Look, the invitation is, the good news is that you're going to play in the pros. Right? Good news is you're going to play in the majors. I don't want the majors. I just want to do the little league. Right? Look, to play in the majors, play in the NFL, you need amazing facilities. Like a new heart. Like new creation. Look, God isn't taking the old heart, rehabilitating it. Right? To play in the NFL, you need a new athletic ability. You need a new heart. The idea of the invitation The invitation isn't to play in the little leagues. The minor leagues. That's not the invitation. God is building a kingdom of sons and daughters who will reign with him. That is the message of the kingdom. That is the good news of the gospel. And yet we would rather go, oh, it's just, I'm saved. Let's wait this out. I don't want to kill myself because then, you know, I don't know. That's a mess, right? I'll just wait it out. Get there and we'll figure it out, God. No, well, I mean, it's kind of important. I mean, it's important, this idea of the kingdom, because Jesus, the good news of the kingdom isn't just good news of the future kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth. The good news of the kingdom is the here and now kingdom as well. Revelation 22, 3 and 5. It says 3 through 5. And night will be no more. This is the picture of eternity. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light. And they will what? Reign forever and ever. And you think 80 years is a long time. I'm here to tell you, my friends, 80 years is nothing. And whatever you think is important as to why you can't be radical, right, for the kingdom, you will one day see it's nothing but rubbish. It's rubbish. Whatever you think, I can't let go of this. Oh. You ever wonder, why is that so important to you? Right? You ever wonder why, how you spend your money, how you spend your time? And at some point, you got to go, like, if it's not in the building of the kingdom, you gotta just stop and go, I think it's unimportant. Here's the thing. It's not that it's not important at all. Compared to why Jesus would suffer and die, that reason, that's the most important. That's the most important. And here's the thing. Worship is coming before God and trying to see that as important. The Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. It's like, because you want a lot of your will to be done. You're like, God, I'm so sick of my will trying to get what I want, holding back from you. Why? Because I want whatever I want. It's like, we're so desperate for God to be so important that we would be sold out to live and build for the kingdom. Let's just close up with this summary. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom in parables. And we will see. You will see kingdom realities. Right? You will see why in the kingdom. Right? Why you see it's necessary for you to be able to see what is important, what is not important, right? You will begin to see, right, the parables as sons, right? Parables. These are kingdom realities. This is what Jesus spent time, okay, preaching to the crowd. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom in parables. The kingdom is the oneness of God and his sons and daughters, heirs, to share in God's eternal reign in the kingdom now and in the kingdom to come. There never was, is, and never will be another way into the kingdom life apart from the finished work of Jesus, to which God invites for those who have ears to hear, eyes to see. And if you think, you know what? God, give me a glimpse so that everything seems rubbish. Help me to see that however many years I got left is nothing compared to a trillion years, compared to eternity. God, help me to see that. That's the gospel. And blessed are you if you can see that. Blessed are you if you hear that and that becomes important. Blessed are you who wants to be sons and daughters of the mighty King. Heirs, right? Heirs for eternity to reign with Christ. And for those who just want to be a fly on the wall in heaven, You know, you'll tell yourself you're not being greedy. Just want to be up there. I just want you to understand. You're negating why God would send his son to suffer and die. He didn't do that to make you a fly on the wall. He did that to make you sons and daughters of the living King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you did your work is unfathomable, God. God, the treasure that you hold up for us, God, it's just, and yet we will not see it. We will not see how precious your son is. We will not see how precious what you're offering, God. We will miss it, God, in our pretense. God, would you help us now? Would you lift up the blinders? Give us ears to hear. God, don't let us run. Don't let us hide. Would you send your light to expose, to bring to light all that is true and real? And God, help us now to step forward, to see the realities of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.